One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Mailbag. Received wisdom players Manchester United should sign and one club players are the orders of the day. It's Saturday, 4th of May. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Adesina Hunter-Raja.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Hello, everybody. Saturday, what a day. Podding all week with you. Now, if you want to get involved with the mailbag, you can tweet us on X at Football Ramble, message us on Instagram at Football Ramble, and of course, you can email us as well, show@footballramble.com. And if you can see the Football Ramble pigeon, then do use that as well. Carrier pigeon, very underrated mode of messaging. Right, Lynn, Jim, this...
Where are you?
You've been to bed.
I feel it's out of date these days. But Jim, you've got the first email.
I do have the first email, and as is tradition, I'm going to read it. Mm. Bobby has been in touch. Possibly Greyfriars Bobby. Almost certainly not. He says, "What's the most ridiculous piece of received wisdom in football that people just keep on repeating? It crossed my mind when everyone started slagging off the Real Madrid goalkeeper for letting in Sané's very fast, very early strike just because it went to his near post."
Yeah, that is a classic one, isn't it? Yeah. Keeper should never be beaten at their near post. Because I said that on, would it have been Wednesday's show, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, keeper would be disappointed with that. And then I saw how fast Sané hit it and I was like, yeah, fair enough.
Well, see, Sané hits that with his, I suppose we're not to get in the question just yet, but Sané hits that in his dribbling stride.
Yes. Yeah.
Like there's no pullback. So stuff like that, yeah, I totally agree with you.
I mean, basically, they're saying keepers shouldn't be beaten at their near post. They're going on the proviso that a goalkeeper is stood very close to the near post.
Yes.
And obviously, angles can change.
Yeah.
And not every angle is the same, Jim, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Gary Neville sort of tied himself up in knots in commentary a little bit, saying that goals should never be conceded?
Yes, yeah.
If everyone was doing their jobs, it would never be goals.
Yeah, because defenders are just inherently better at their really jobs funny. Than strikers.
Because he eventually got pushed into saying that he thinks goalkeepers should save everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Nil-nil. If a game is not nil-nil, it's a disgrace.
Standards are amazing.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing.
Yeah, so I think the near post one is a good one. Yeah. I mean, of course, generally, if it's not if it's a certain type of shot. But I mean, he smashed it and he wasn't that far out. Do you know what I mean? So
I think the most obvious one of these is that penalties are a lottery, aren't they?
Yeah.
And it almost feels cliche to say that now, but you do still sometimes hear it. It tends to
be
proper football men of a bygone age, but there is still this idea.
Yeah, I think that comes from... I think that comes from the way those phrases come about, if that makes sense. Because I was always saying the way that it's implied as a lottery is because there are so many variables that while you would favour a striker from that position when the goalkeeper's on his line, that kind of goes out the window because of the pressure. But then because people keep saying the phrase, well, like explaining the phrase, you're in a situation where, like, well, obviously it's not a lottery.
No, you're right.
It was just an exaggeration just to, you know, for effect.
Yeah, if you take, the 2006 World Cup final between France and Italy, I think it was one penalty was missing. It was Trezeguet who clipped the underside of the bar. I mean, again, it's the margins, isn't it? It's why we use the word margins quite a lot, because it is just a couple of inches that goes in, the penalty shooter carries on, and you're into chaos theory. You know, it is such fine stuff in a penalty shootout, and you're right. Normally, I mean, talked about Aston Villa against Olympiacos. Normally, Douglas Luiz puts that away, but it's just the other side of the post. Mm. You know, there's plenty of examples here of, you know, when Kevin De Bruyne misses a penalty for Man City when he screwed it. Why? I think, blimey, what happened there, or whatever. Again, loads and loads and loads of examples. So yes, there is an element of, you know, that the goalkeeper has made a stunning save because the goalkeeper just thrown himself one way and has guessed right. So goalkeepers do guess. So it's a penalty takers will hit the ball in a certain area thinking, you know. So yes, there's a sort of a touch of the guesswork there. But clearly, if you look at certain countries, you know, Argentina have got a fantastic record in penalty shootouts. Yeah. So do Germany. We know this. England do not. It's no coincidence. It's not like, oh, blimey, you know, that bloke keeps winning the lottery, you know. So you're right to say that. And the other one I was going to bring in is that it's harder to play against 10 men sometimes than against 11 men.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was working with a very high profile former footballer who said this once. And I said, well, no, I mean, what you mean is when a team goes ultra defensive and plays really deep or plays with a low block, to use modern language, that makes it really difficult to break them down. It's not the fact that, you know, if a team get a player sent off, you don't go, oh, no, I hope it's not one of these lots of 10 men.
Suddenly become superhuman.
Exactly. Yeah. It's good for the opposition team if an opposing player gets sent off. It's an advantage. It wouldn't be given. The rule wouldn't stand. If 10 men kept beating 11 men, you'd be thinking, brilliant, we'll get a man sent off. That'll help us. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So that kind of thing, oh, it's sometimes harder to play against 10 men. No, what you mean is, when they go deep, when they play ultra defensive, that can make it more difficult to break them down, and that's understandable. I get that.
Yeah, especially when you're reaching a bit, when you're the 11 men and you think, well, we should be winning this, and then you start getting your own head about it. Yeah,
yeah. So there's all those kind of things. I mean, here's a great one at grassroots level football, which perhaps maybe you'll be able to identify with, is when you look at the opposition and clearly, for whatever reason, it's painfully obvious that that's not their first choice goalkeeper. In fact, that's probably not a goalkeeper at all. Lads, shoot on sight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That receiver, well, we should shoot. It's just, you just play your normal.
He's got no control of his bodily functions.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because I've never seen him before.
You should always.
He's more of a mist.
You should always just play your normal game.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, then you will score the chances that you will create like normal and so on. Whereas if it's like
30 shots from the like halfway line.
Exactly. Yeah. Shooting from by kicks, it's not a good idea.
Yeah. That's not their usual standard bearer. Attack, attack.
Exactly, yeah.
Get the horses.
Yeah.
So
indeed.
I have a thought on this as well, and this is slightly different because it's not on the pitch, but it's inspired by something I heard in a pub a couple of seasons ago when Man City were playing a Champions League game in Europe, and it was a young person, so it surprised me to hear this.
Okay.
But he declared very loudly to everybody in the toilet. It was at the urinal.
Oh.
Just painting a
How many people were in
here.
The toilet? Here?
It was a busy pub, so there were quite a few.
Okay.
But he declared very loudly that you have to support an English club in Europe. And I think you used to hear that a lot more.
You did,
maybe it is dying out. But it was the guy was quite young, and I was surprised to hear it from a young person. And I've always thought that's a bit daft. Like, no, you don't. I think it's different. Obviously, you don't have to support your direct rivals in Europe. But, like, it's up to you, isn't it? It's a global game. Maybe you were more enamoured by the style of a European team than you are of, say, Liverpool or Chelsea or Arsenal or whoever. Yeah. Like, you might have plenty of reasons to not like a particular facet of the English team in Europe and think, you know what? Go on, Roma, for whatever reason. And I think it's a very sort of isolationist idea.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was an isolationist idea, although those who are isolationists would probably, you know, agree with this young chap in the bogs. But I think it's probably an old-fashioned one when it felt like one English team, one team from every country in the European Cup was representing England. And also, or representing the countries, and also less movement of players around. So each team probably did have a lot fewer foreigners. I mean, there was a three foreigner rule for crying out loud, which seems mad now. I think that's fair. I think, because I mean, you know me, I'm a bit old fashioned with regards to this. I tend to support the English or the British teams in Europe. So I think it probably goes back to that. And when Manchester United won the treble, certainly at my school, now I know I went to school in Surrey, you know, lots of Man United fans, but it did feel like that a lot of people were quite happy, and there was an element of, they were obviously representing themselves, you know, but representing England as well. But you are going back 25 years.
Yes. I think it's a case by case basis. You know, it's not just automatically you should support the team.
But I should also say, by the way, that the following year or whenever it was when Manchester United, they think they lost, I think they lost away to Fiorentina, if I'm going to pinpoint the actual game. And yet a lot of people at school were really pleased they lost.
Yeah.
So maybe it was a case of, right, you've had your victory, right, we're bored of you now, whatever.
Yeah,
so,
maybe.
So it does, I think, again, it moves and changes.
And the point you made about there are just fewer teams in Europe back then as well.
Yeah.
It feels a bit more diluted now. Like, you know, there was genuinely a stage earlier this season where I was like, oh, yeah, there's, you know, Europa League today. And I was like, oh, West Ham. I was like, oh. And I felt like my internal like kid being like, oh, watch it and, you know, root for them. I was like, oh, I don't care.
Really? I've still got a little bit of that. And I did have that for West Ham and also Aston Villa, actually. Just the Claret and Blues. Mm. Burnley, get into Europe. I'll support you.
It's very unlikely to happen, isn't it? But it is possible under the new system that 11 Premier League clubs could play in Europe.
Yeah, so, it's too many. Yeah. Too many teams to support.
That scenario will almost certainly never actually happen. But you're right. It is a saturation issue.
I think it does depend, though. I think because, you know, when Fulham went all the way in the Europa League, because it was so unlikely, and let's be honest, very few people hate Fulham. Brentford fans, all right, I hear you. Then I think people can get behind that, you know. There's with regards to received wisdom, I mean, there's been a few that have finally fallen by the wayside, you know, a good touch for a big man, all these kind of ones.
That
seemed
to really crystallise around Peter Crouch, didn't it? And was then banished forever. He did a real service there.
I think
he actually held up the...
Zlatan Ibrahimovic kicked it firmly into touch.
Yeah, well, overhead kicked it into England's net.
I think Crouch's thing that helped was that he wasn't actually that good at heading the ball.
I mean, he was fairly handy, I would say.
Because he would win headers, but technically he wasn't a very good header of the ball. Can I throw one in there that's a bit more, I suppose it's a bit more modern, really. Although maybe it's died down with analytics and stuff like that, and just people looking back retrospectively at this. You know, Newcastle's entertainers.
Yeah.
Deemed as this, you know, attacking, almost kind of off-the-cuff force and didn't care what happened at the back. In that 95-96 season, they conceded 9 goals at home.
Yeah.
Wow.
They had the best home record comfortably in the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, they obviously conceded a few more away from home, but they were pretty reliable away from home as well. Because obviously everyone just remembers the 4-3 and the back and forth nature of that game at Anfield against Liverpool. But, yeah, conceded 9 goals at home.
That's a very good stat. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, there are some things, again, though, that I'm sort of, I think they're very, very particular to this country with regards to receivers. Of course, I mean, that'll be the same the world over. And another one is that you're sort of jinky, creative type player. Nowadays, perhaps we're not farming them out to the wing as much. There's a lot of talk about Phil Foden playing in the centre, for example. Again, and that idea that if you've got a little bit of skill or a little bit of pace, you have to be on the wing. Yes, that's I get that. I do kind of get that. But I think those kind of old-fashioned kind of English receiver wisdoms, certainly, or like a defensive midfielder has to be really tough tackling and you know, you're just there as a blocker, really. Same as a centre-half, you know. But again, these have largely gone or certainly are going. So, yeah, interesting question from Bobby there. Nice one. One from Ben here.
who says, Ramblers, you are collectively loving the Ten Hag version of Manchester United. We certainly are, Ben.
Shall I go? I don't need to.
Do you mean leave or go off?
I mean leave.
Are we collectively loving it, Vish?
I mean, you are part of the collective, so you can say
I suppose,
no.
Oi, yeah.
Podcast over club, yeah?
That's true, yeah.
which players could Manchester United sign over the summer that wouldn't really be good for Manchester United but would be great for the Ramble? I'm thinking the 2016 version of Hatton Ben Arthur. He would be perfect. Cheers, Ben. That's lovely.
Yeah.
So he's, I mean, so he's saying this is open to a bit of fantasy here because I mean, sure. If you go back to 2016, Hatton Ben Arthur, any names that leap to mind?
Well, one that was a legitimate transfer link a little while ago that probably won't happen now, but Mauro Icardi would be he's a player where you can see how it would make sense in the squad actually in terms of an older player, a bit more experienced, who can, you know, help Hoyland out, help him develop, be there when Hoyland's not available, which has been an issue. He's a very good player.
Definitely help him develop, yeah.
Or just help him develop by filling in when he's injured or whatever. I'm trying to make the case for it, but it's not just Mauro, is it?
No. Do you know what?
So that was a broadly sincere answer then?
Yeah. I mean, it would be fucking amazing for us, wouldn't it?
Really
for you and me personally, who are so into keeping up with the Icardis.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can't.
It's impossible. Mm.
I was thinking that...
Are you joining in with us here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, good man. It's come to that, isn't it? You can't beat him, join him.
I thought it'd be brilliant if you like signed Balotelli.
Oh, yeah, I thought that one as well. Why because, always you?
Yeah, because it would be a situation where, I don't know, like deciding that Ten Hag would sit with him and be like, right, you know, we know this is a price for all of us, but you're here. Mm. Can you promise to be on your best behaviour? I can't promise that.
No.
Okay.
Not promising anything.
But we really do need you. I know that. Yeah. That's why I'm here. Yeah. That's why I can't make any promises.
Yeah.
I'm here for my enjoyment, not yours.
You know he'd be pumped for the derby as well and get sent off within the first few minutes.
Another one that would be great and maybe a little bit more realistic than that, but still out there, with the caveat that United occasionally sign a Wout Weghorst or an Odion Ighalo, where it just comes out of nowhere, Mitro. Oh.
I thought you were going to say Vardy.
but that would be a genuinely good signing.
Yeah, Mitro would be closer to the good signing than the Icardi one with a lot of the same reasonings.
Mitrovic is one of the best strikers on the planet, Jim. Have you seen his goal score Italian South?
Is that all it takes? A couple of seasons for Fulham, that's it.
Couple of unbelievably good season, more than a couple.
Speaking of goal tallies in Saudi Arabia, you seen who leads the way?
Yeah. Funnily, get him back. Do you know why?
Third time's a charm.
This would be classic. This Manchester United getting Eden Hazard to come out of retirement. He's like, no, I'm done. I'm totally done. One last job. Yeah, all right then.
Do I have to run? Not really.
But have you seen have to eat my lunch in the hallway as well, do you? Yeah. No.
Ten Hag just going. But did you know? Obviously, he knows the Premier League really well. He's not bothered, Eric. He doesn't. He's openly said he's not fussed. But why
doesn't
not?
Doesn't know who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that.
The only thing you've spoken about post retirement is eating.
Eating. Yeah. Glorious.
Like Cassano, he said that, didn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
It was put to Antonio Cassano. Like, what are you going to do when you retire? And he said, I'm going to eat everything.
Top man. Cassano of old.
Yeah.
Any version of Cassano, I
Glass,
think. Because
again,
you know, the mercurial talent as an
amazing player when he, you know. Well, actually, even when he wasn't that up for it.
True enough. All right then, chaps, let's have a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This one comes from Marcus.
Go on, lad.
Not that one.
Oh, what's your favourite England moment?
With the current financial rules, specifically the sale of academy players being considered as sheer profit, are we seeing the end of the iconic one club player so that clubs can balance their books?
That's a good question.
It is. I think maybe it's the other way, really. Because
do you?
Yeah, because you'd be in a situation where a club who have a, you know, a very good academy, bring through players. It's the players that end up being around the crown jewel in those youth teams that end up getting sold, don't they? Mm-hmm. So if you look at Chelsea now, with all the players that they sign, I appreciate Conor Gallagher as someone who has been talked about as being sold for profit, but ultimately he's been an ever-present this season. If you go someone a bit younger and an equally dysfunctional, well, more dysfunctional football team, can you see Kobbie Mainoo going elsewhere in his career?
What I was going to say is Phil Foden.
A bit different though, because it's about success. But then you still get a player like Phil Foden coming through, while they also sell. So you know they're selling Doyle to Wolves at the moment, Man City. They further down the chain, obviously Sancho's gone. Other you know other younger players have gone elsewhere.
Romeo Lavia was an example of
Romeo Lavia, Frimpong, Leverkusen as well, formerly of Man City. So I feel like it more affects the other players, but you're still going to get those one club players still coming through. They're just going to be out of this world.
They're actually quite a rare thing anyway, though, aren't they?
That's
true
as well.
The type of one club players we tend to talk about, I mean, Paolo Maldini would be the ultimate example. Steven Gerrard would be had he not gone to LA Galaxy, of course.
Gary Neville.
Gary Neville, indeed. They tend to be these I mean, people call Gary Neville Fred the Red, don't they? They're such a part of the fabric of the club. They're almost an emblem of it as much as a player of it. And I don't think that will ever go. I think you're right. And actually, Gallagher, despite his loan spells, obviously, is...
You can't
even go on loan?
No.
No, all right. Well, let's talk about Gallagher anyway. I think you're right. I think he is sort of playing himself into a position where it would be silly to sell him. They're better off finding other ways to bring that money in. And also, this point might be moot soon because the financial rules are changing relatively soon. We don't know exactly how they're going to happen yet, or even if it's going to happen, but the suggestion is that these parameters will change. So who knows?
It's funny actually, because when I first read that question, I thought to myself, I think we might see the end of it. But then I started thinking a bit more about it and thought about some of the things that you mentioned there, Vish. And they are rare. I mean, you think of the spectacular examples, as you said. You already mentioned Maldini, and you know Paul Scholes would be another one. But actually, I think it's less to do with financial rules per se. And I think it's more to do with just the lie of the land of a particular club. Man City would have to have an incredible sort of turn down, or whatever, in performance. You know, they'd have to become really, really crap for Phil Foden to think in a few years' time. This is rubbish round here. I'm going to go. I suppose the argument would be that there's fewer clubs with lots of money who could afford, say, a Phil Foden. So where would he go? Would he go elsewhere in England? Probably not. Would he go to Real Madrid or I don't know, PSG or something? You know, there's fewer destinations. Yeah. Whereas years ago, you might go to one of the big clubs in Italy or something like that. Which therefore means that actually the one club men in the past, they might have gone off somewhere. If you see what I mean, because there was more destination. So I think ultimately you can sort of move the furniture around on this one, but I just think it remains a sort of incredibly rare thing. And we also hone in on the big examples. There are players who have played for teams lower down the leagues or maybe even lower down the pyramids, who of course are one club players, but they obviously don't get the headlines. So yeah, I don't think it is the end of it, but
they
are rare and to be cherished by the supporters of particular clubs where it happens.
It's certainly a new quirk to it, isn't it? I think it's a strange quirk of the current rules, isn't it? That I don't think we were kind of mentally ready for so many academy mm-hmm. players to be being sort of shipped off before they were ready.
Yep.
Almost, it's how it feels, isn't it? Like they've been stuck on a train and sent off to boarding school. Like I don't love it either because it stops. It feels like it kind of actually stops players getting a chance to really make a name for themselves at their own clubs. Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, clubs have to turn a profit and have to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense to use the sort of academy. It makes academies feel like puppy farms in a way that's slightly gross.
It does. And look, there's a lot of details here and a lot of opinions people have. I mean, to kind of look at it from a different point of view, if you know, in the history of professional football, it's always been very, very, very few players go on and make it.
Yeah.
And if you're an academy player, you may not make it at Chelsea or Man City, but you know, if you do get loaned out somewhere else or even sold, you know, you come as, this guy's a Man City product. Mm. This guy's an Arsenal product. And so that does sort of boost your CV a little bit.
Tommy Doyle's a great example of that. I mentioned already, like doing really, really well at Wolves, might not have got that move.
Yeah.
Otherwise, so it does swing both ways.
It does. I mean, again, people will have strong opinions on. You know, we spoke. I think we mentioned last week, was it on the mailbag, about the you know, your kind of catchment areas and who can take players and so on. And again, people have very understandably strong opinions on that. Perhaps we're getting away from the actual question here, but it is interesting, and I think that whatever rules are in place, like I say, I think actually you could argue that maybe you would see one or two more one club players because of fewer destinations, especially in the Premier League where there's a lot of money. But of course, the landscape may change. We think that, you know, nowadays when things look very, very firm and very, very sustainable or consistent, doesn't mean to say in 10 years' time that things might not change. You know, I mean, Serie A was the big one in the 90s, you know, and obviously things have changed around. So, yeah, it's a good question, my fellow Marcus, and one I think I'll probably keep pondering once, even when we're out of the studio.
Go away, Tim, has been in touch on Instagram.
He's called himself that.
He has, yeah. Or maybe someone's bothering him and he's had enough. Who knows? We can only speculate.
People say that to him so often he thinks, that's my name
now. I'm going
to
reclaim it.
Poor man. Well, you're welcome here, Tim.
Yeah, you are. He says, following on from Michael Owen's continuing appearances on Referees Mic'd Up, which other potentially weird ex-footballer should get his own TV show? Now, I'm going to jump straight in on this. He's not an ex-footballer yet, but I'm going to move that boundary myself. Jamie Vardy, club rep on ITV2.
Yep.
It's the job. We all know this is the job that he considered quitting football for.
Yes.
We'd all like to see what would have happened. I think he's still got it in him to be the world's most menacing club rep.
I'm going to jump in here and just go, yes, Jim, yes.
Yes.
Get it.
Yes.
You don't need to convince. Yeah.
Rebecca's there as well, obviously.
Oh.
And, she, you know, that there's a B plot every week, shall we say. What are you done now?
Yeah.
How much is it going to cost me?
They're on a little cruise going around, I don't know. Where would they're going around the Med, aren't they?
Yeah, sure.
And,
just hear a bloop. Was that a mobile phone again?
Nope.
What have you chucked over? I haven't chucked anything over the side.
Yeah. What Vardy would be doing is he'd be prank calling the Roonies, and then after they're hanging up and then chucking the phone in the
Or she'd be doing that. What? How much is that going to cost? It's just a phone. You know that's not what I mean.
Yeah. I genuinely I want this to happen.
Yeah. I mean,
look, sometimes we sit there and say, that'd be quite. This is good.
They do feel like a couple that will have some sort of reality TV future, surely.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
But then, though, I think Vardy, would he be kind of, you know, I think Vardy would be like, no, not for television. I just don't think that to try and contain
Jamie Vardy
him,
uncut?
Yeah.
Jamie Vardy nights? Is that what you're suggesting?
Jamie Vardy uncut is just Jamie Vardy.
Sure.
I mean, what else can you uncut?
I feel like
him?
He'd
have to be nude. That's the only thing.
How about a show where he takes control of your stag, basically? He's your best man for the stag. Could you imagine it?
No, like big break where you know they pick the balls out of the bag. So whichever snooker player was on your side to help you earn prizes.
I get slagged off for old references.
Yeah, he's old.
Big break.
Basically,
but lovely to hear.
It was an old snooker show where there was a bag of balls, different colours, and you know there'd be a different snooker player associated with the colour. And Jim Davidson. And you'd pick it out, and that'd be the snooker player you get. I think, do you occasionally get rubbish ones? I can't remember.
Well, they're all professionals.
They were all professionals, yeah. But then, yeah, so like that, you could have a stag do,
yeah,
and you'd pick a number.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the FA Cup draw.
Yeah, true.
And
yeah,
that person would organise your stag.
I like it.
Jamie O'Hara is in charge of your special weekend. Great.
Michael Owen, this might be a bit dull. Yeah, no.
Are we standing as the Hal Webb all weekend?
this would be a very, very wholesome show, one for all the family. I think everybody would really enjoy. Just some kind of cookery programme with Bukayo Saka, because he's got his own sauce now.
He does.
Yeah.
It'd just be delightful, wouldn't it? It would be lovely. And also, I think going round, in fact, you could go further afield, go abroad, go all over the place. It would just be beautiful content.
It would be enjoyable
to see Saka. I know we're not here for wholesome chat, everybody. Apologies, but I just suddenly got a bit starry-eyed.
I feel like he would need a partner. It'd be like The Trip.
Yeah.
Mm. You know, with Bryden and Coogan.
Would you need someone to compliment him, or someone who's the opposite?
Well, you'd want a bit of back and forth between Saka and someone else, but you'd also want someone who you're kind of rooting for as well.
Declan Rice.
Because
he comes.
We're not winning the Spurs vote with that lineup, though, are they?
And that's a vote that we cover, isn't it?
Yeah, we do.
It really is.
You kind of want a broader audience as possible. This is what I was thinking.
Okay.
Chiellini.
Son.
Chiellini. And they're bonded by that. Because he's actually quite a charismatic guy.
He is, yeah.
He is. Yeah.
Again, not winning the Spurs vote.
Yeah.
No, so if you wanted wholesome, you wanted.
This is the history of wholesome.
Son.
Maybe rival on rival, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think both lovely men who we all like. Yeah.
Another very popular genre of TV show is, of course, the detective drama.
It is.
As you both know, I will bring this up at every possible opportunity, because Ian de Zeeuw, post-football, became a detective in the Netherlands.
Would
in
you
his
call him a gumshoe?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Absolutely. I don't know how sort of noirish his life is. I'm not sure if it works like that in reality, but I choose to believe so. And you'd maybe have him, like, you'd get him some sort of, you know, partner, make some sort of odd couple detective duo.
Mickey van der Ven, his father said recently that he was, that he presents a show in the Netherlands, a detective show or something. Yeah, so van der Ven, and because you need someone to catch the criminals. Who better than the fastest man on the planet?
Yeah.
Who better than the fastest, than the dad of the fastest man on the planet?
No, Mickey.
Oh, you think Mickey would do it as well? Okay.
Yeah.
Because his dad's otherwise occupied.
I know he's not the fastest man on the planet, by the way, everybody. There's very much a designated race.
Did you really think someone was going to message in, be like, Tori, just on this, Mickey van der Ven is not the fastest man in the world?
You never know.
Yeah.
You never know. Okay. I like that. So, Ian de Zeeuw, Mickey van der Ven solving crime.
What about Martin O'Neill? He loves crime. Well, he's in solving crime.
Would he present the show? And go, right, maybe. Everybody, and now over to the Netherlands to see what they're getting up to.
What a weird show this would be. Yeah. Martin O'Neill presents a Dutch crime show.
But for me...
It's sort of semi-fictionalised and semi-real. Mickey van der Ven's dad's in it and Mickey van der Ven's in it.
Yeah, yeah. Talking of Dutch shows...
Mickey van der Ven's dad in it, not for long. We don't even really know why he's there.
It was the only way we could get Mickey van der Ven.
Yeah. What about some sort of... What about Antiques Roadshow with Harry Redknapp? Just trying to calm the public.
It's not worth that. No, it's not worth that. I'll tell you what, I'll do your deal.
Is there an auction sort of thing in Antiques Roadshow?
I don't believe so.
No.
It's sort of very much against the spirit of it.
This is a lovely piece that your late great great grandmother left you. Is that we'll sell it then? How much?
Yeah.
Well, give it to me now. Give me a million quid now.
I just want Barry Fry involved.
Yeah. What is the one with the auction where they get prizes?
Yeah, there is something. But Barry Fry...
The one with the tan, the bad tan man.
Bargain Hunt.
Yeah. Okay, we'll do that with Ben White.
I feel that he only has one kind of attribute. It's not even an attribute, is it? Something going for him in that role. It's got to be Barry Fry. Sold to the fat bastard in the blue blazer. Him doing an auction would be great television.
It would.
For a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's only on once a week.
Great point, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Oh, dear. Right, everybody, I think we'll end on that note with a bit of Barry Fry. Thank you for listening to the Football Ramble Mailbag, part of the Acast Creator Network. We're back on Monday with a brand new ramble, of course. In the meantime, follow us on X, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble, and follow us on Spotify. Don't forget, footballramblelive.com. There we are. Thanks, Vish.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Enjoy your weekend.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.